When selecting an injury law firm, size matters. Let me introduce you to Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Boasting over 100 offices nationwide and a robust team of 900 lawyers, and growing, they possess the resources necessary to secure the best possible outcomes for their clients. With the capacity to invest millions in a case, Morgan & Morgan is well-equipped to handle a diverse range of personal injury cases, including car accidents, slip and fall incidents, workplace injuries, medical malpractice, nursing home abuse, and defective product claims. Unlike firms that operate on a one-lawyer-fits-all model, Morgan & Morgan has attorneys who specialize in every area of personal injury law. This specialization ensures that you'll be matched with a lawyer who has a deep understanding of the specific legal landscape relevant to your case. Moreover, Morgan & Morgan operates on a contingency fee basis, meaning you won't incur any charges unless they win your case. There are no upfront costs, sign-up fees, or charges for calls, investigations, meetings, or the time and effort dedicated to your case. This client-centric approach has led to a remarkable recovery of over $13 billion for their clients. With a trust base of over 3 million people, many choose to call Morgan & Morgan in their time of need. Their impressive support infrastructure includes over 4,000 staff members available 24/7 to address your case questions or concerns. Initiating the process is straightforward. Click the link in my description, visit fourthpeople.com/Donovan, or dial #law from your cell phone. And don't forget to mention Donovan sent you. I'm no stranger to a late night fish. Out there on the lake under the stars, there's a peace you can't find anywhere else. This happened at Milford Lake in Kansas. It's usually so quiet there, perfect for catching some huge catfish. Or at least that's what I was expecting to wrestle with that night. Some people might not get why I love fishing at night, but if they saw the sunset from a rocking boat, they'd get it. It's not just about catching fish. It's about the quiet, being alone, and the soft sounds of the world changing from day to night. I typically start setting up around dusk. I gather my gear, my trusty old rod and reel, and the earthy smell of live bait jostling in its tub. Once everything's ready, I'll cast that first line out into the calm waters. I really like that almost silent plop when the lure hits the water. Once the hooks are set, it's just me and the stars. The world just fades away, leaving nothing but me, my line, and waiting for that telltale tug of a fish. Casting my line that night, I remember the distinct feeling that something was off. The air felt weird, kind of electric, and it was way too quiet. Even the bugs had stopped buzzing. After a while, my attention was entirely swallowed up by this suffocating stillness. Out on the water, as odd as it sounds, the feeling of being watched isn't that unusual. Moving shadows are part of the package, especially when the wind gets to swaying the reeds and tree limbs along the lakeshore. However, what I felt wasn't just the mystery of the darkness. It was a more invasive type of anticipation. Every time I cast the line or felt a tug, it felt like I was getting closer to something big. It felt like everything was just waiting for something big to happen, like the calm before a storm. The tension was so palpable that the night silence seemed more like an anxious humming in my ears. During one of my casts, with my line out in the dark, I heard this huge splash from the other side of the lake. It wasn't the splash of a fish leaping or turtle submerging, no. This was a heavy, forceful splash, like a waterlogged branch had finally given in to the pull of water. But when I tried to see what made the noise, I couldn't see anything in the dark. Moments later, what followed was a low growl that rolled across the dark surface, a sound that seemed both primal and dreadful, cutting through the night and stirring up an intense fear I didn't know I had in me. As an angler, you come prepared for the wildlife. It's part of what you know you'll be dealing with when you're in Mother Nature's territory. But that sound, it was nothing I'd ever encountered in my many years of fishing at night on the water. I couldn't imagine anything like it, not in this lake. It was like something straight out of a nightmare. So that was just the start. Out of nowhere, the quiet of the night was broken by the sound of rustling reeds. I couldn't help but look where the noise was coming from. I swear that I then saw a pair of glowing eyes staring right back at me, but it was hard to see clearly with just the moonlight. Those eyes were yellow and really piercing. Never seen anything like them before. They seemed kinda otherworldly. I was freaking out, but also kind of curious. Truly, I couldn't tell if I was more scared or interested. Was it just some animal looking weird in the dark? Or was there something stranger about it? I remember this chill going up my back. Felt like a bad sign, like something scary was about to happen. And then, the creature emerged. It was big, really big, and stood on two legs. I felt sick seeing this huge shadow slip out of the water. The moonlight was shining on its scaly skin. It was there for just a moment, but it felt like a big deal, like I was seeing something I shouldn't. Its head, similar to a dinosaur or lizard, hosted a set of sharp teeth glinting in the moonlight. A sight stamped to never fade from my memory. I was so shocked I couldn't move. Then I watched as it submerged again, and everything went quiet. One minute I'm just fishing alone, chilling, and the next I'm seeing something, like out of a legend. My peaceful spot wasn't the same anymore, and I was now worried about impending doom. I had no idea if it was coming for me under the water, and not being able to see it was almost worse than when I was looking right at it. Jolted by what was happening, my grip involuntarily loosened on the fishing rod, and I almost lost it in the water. I hastily began rowing back to shore and packing up my stuff simultaneously. I just knew in my gut I had to get out of there. I hustled, powered solely by adrenaline and the lingering dread, leaving behind the once comforting darkness of the lake. Returning home, I was haunted by recurring visions of the creature, of those glowing eyes imprinted on my mind, lurking amidst my nightmares. Now my favorite fishing spot just doesn't feel right. I keep wondering what else might be under that water. Eventually, that first night passed, the sun rose, and all seemed somewhat normal again, but the haunting image of that face kept popping into my brain. Ever since then, every trip to the lake has been different. Now, even the sounds of the night don't feel peaceful anymore, and being out there alone just gives me the creeps. But there's something weird about it. Every time the moon's just right, or the wind whispers a certain way, I feel like the lake's calling me back. Ever since then, the night sky and the calm lake just don't seem the same to me. I want to tell you about something weird that happened in my backyard a while back. It's one of those things that just doesn't sit right with me. It happened at my place late in November in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. Just me, the night, and that thing. Elizabethtown gets real quiet at night. You know, just the owls hooting, dogs barking now and then, and the rare car driving by. Oddly enough, on that particular Tuesday night, it was the unusual absence of these familiar sounds that first caught my attention, making the night feel even more silent and kind of spooky. Like any sensible person, I was wrapped up tight in a blanket on my porch swing, warm from the cold air. But those noises were different. Quiet, but in a strange way. It was a scratching sound, like nails on a blackboard, that really got under your skin. I'm not usually paranoid, never seen a ghost or anything. But my grandma always said to trust your gut, and it was telling me something was off. And boy, oh boy, was my gut rumbling bad, like there was a storm rolling in. But curiosity got the better of me. I mean, you'd be curious too if something was up, messing with the peace of your own backyard, wouldn't you? I felt kind of brave, I guess, grabbing my big flashlight from the corner of the porch. Thought maybe I'd find a raccoon or something. I had to give Tweeter, my old beagle, the slip, since I didn't want him getting in the way. Stepping off the porch, into the light of the moon, the silence was suffocating, but my adrenaline was pumping. I fumbled around, my flashlight cutting sharp lines into the darkness. I walked down the stone-laden pathway, heart thumping in my chest like a marching band, sweat trickling down my brow. I followed that scratching sound, pushing past the branches of that big maple tree in my yard, ducking under the ones hanging low. I was edging towards the old wooden shed in the left corner of my backyard. feeling my heart thunder against my ribs like a trapped bird. Every little rustle and shadow seemed louder and scarier, but I kept going, half worried, half curious. The noise got louder and more frantic, echoing in the quiet night. It gave me the creeps. As I approached, the pale beam of my flashlight danced along the ground, revealing restless, frenzied movements near the base of the shed, large enough to make me think of a dog, only skinnier. Strange clicking noises started to mix with the rustling. That's when I saw it, this huge eye, shining weirdly in the light. I can't explain it, but whatever it was, it just didn't fit with my everyday life of dirty hands and late-night ball games. Now, I'm not talking about aliens and such, just something offbeat. This was not just a matter of an errant raccoon or a wandering dog. This thing was fast, way too fast for any normal animal. It moved in a weird, twisty way that just didn't seem right. But I was still squinting into the gloom, so I wasn't quite sure what I was up against. This was the point where my common sense wrestled back control. I still had no real idea of what was lurking in the shadows, mix of fear and curiosity swirling within me. With no clear winner, suddenly, the flashlight beam landed on some movement again. It was an odd shape, definitely not human, but not entirely alien either. Under the flash, the night shrunk, and the pale, almost translucent skin of the creature jumped into focus. It was on all fours, kind of like a person trying to move like a deer, but it was bulkier and moved too smoothly. I caught a glimpse of it, and I wish I'd never seen it. Its skin was this sickly color, kind of like dough that's been left out for too long. Its body was so gaunt you could count the ribs. It moved kind of graceful but weird, like a dog trying to walk on its hind legs or something. And its face, it was human but not quite. Large black eyes, and an open gaping mouth that fell inwards into a sucking void. I felt this deep primal fear looking at it, like all those fears you can't put into words, of the dark, of unknown things, of being hunted. I couldn't tell if it knew I was there or felt scared of me. It just paused momentarily and resumed its gait across the yard, pale body oscillating in the dim light, throwing long, uncanny shadows. I just panicked, my heart pounding, and I couldn't even catch my breath. I forgot everything. Tweeter's whine echoing from the house, the birds absent chirping, the distant hum of a vehicle on the dirt road. It was like time slowed down, and there I was, just staring at this thing moving in my yard. Stunned, I stood frozen, space around me turning oddly distant. I don't know how long I stood like that, maybe a minute or an hour, I can't say. Eventually, the thing disappeared in the darkness, dissolving into the underbrush at the edge of the yard. A hollow quiet settled, pressing down on me, the peculiar noises entirely absent now. In the days to follow, I found myself returning to that night, again and again, wrestling with disbelief in the harsh light of reality. Sometimes I couldn't sleep, just lying there staring into the dark, my heart beating fast. I'd often end up on the back porch at dusk, the growing shadows scaring me all over again. But the nights fell into the usual routine, and the strange creature never returned. You might think I'm nuts, imagining weird stuff in the dark. I myself considered that, questioning my sobriety, my sanity. But I keep thinking about how quiet it was, how eerie that night felt. I couldn't have just made it all up. So, I was driving down this country road in Alabama one night. I just grabbed some snacks from the local convenience store and was heading back to my motel near the Sipsey Wilderness. You know, it's one of those places with thick forests and all sorts of weird stories. Now, I'm usually not one for spooky tales or local lore, but there's something about driving through these secluded southern roads late at night that gets your imagination running wild. You know how it is when everything feels more intense at night. Sounds are louder, and every shadow looks a bit off. The way the branches cast shadows in my headlights was kind of spooky, really got my imagination going. It wasn't that I was scared at that point, not exactly. I was just being cautious, you know? After all, you never know. The only company I had was the low rumble of my truck engine and the occasional rustle of my tarp-covered load in the back. But this night felt different. It was unsettlingly quiet. An oppressive stillness wrapped around me, more suffocating than calming. The moon was barely lighting up the road, and my headlights were just cutting through the dark. The wilderness was like this big, dark wall. To break the silence, I turned on some oldies on the radio, the vintage tunes filling the cabin of my truck. But for some reason, the music didn't make me feel any better. It just made me feel more alone in all that darkness. I didn't know it then, but I was about to have an encounter that would chill this seasoned long hauler to the bone. As I drove along the sinewy road, the headlights suddenly cast their gaze on a figure up ahead. At first, I thought it was a person, stranded maybe. I squinted into the darkness, trying to make out the details, but I was wrong. It wasn't a person, not quite. This was something unsettling. It was tall, easily over 6 feet, and astonishingly thin. It was so skinny, its bones were sticking out like crazy. And then came its head, ridiculously large, hanging heavily over its spindly body. The moonlight made its big round head look even weirder. I caught a glimpse of two beady eyes peering through the darkness. All other features were hard to make out. There was also an unnaturalness about the figure. The shock slowed my driving to a crawl, and for a moment, time just stopped. The most unsettling factor was not its appearance, but the way it just stood there in the middle of the road, as if frozen in time, unaffected by my approaching vehicle. The truck's engine, which seemed so loud a few minutes ago, was now a distant drone. Everything just got really confusing and blurry. Observing this skeletal figure in the middle of the road, a cold, sinking feeling started settling at the base of my spine. And then, just like that, the figure started to ascend, gradually blending into the night sky, swallowed by the darkness above me. As quickly as it had appeared, it was gone. And just like that, it disappeared, like a ghost. But that's not even the weirdest part. I hit the brakes hard, stopping right where I'd seen the figure. My heart was racing as I fumbled for my flashlight. I don't know what had gotten into me. Curiosity, perhaps, or a desperate need to rationalize what I'd just seen. I just sat there for a moment, my breath fogging up the windshield. I stepped out, the flashlight's beam cutting through the dark. It was freezing outside, the cold biting through my clothes. I stood there, in the middle of an empty road, searching for any trace of evidence. But there was nothing there. No signs, no remnants, no indication whatsoever that something extraordinary had just taken place. As I turned back to my truck, the faint smell of something metallic hit me. It was so sudden and so strong, it made my head spin. It was strange because it wasn't like anything I'd expect to associate with the wilderness. Was I just imagining it, or was it something left by that creature? I could never tell. I jumped back into the safety of my truck. My hands shook as I turned the ignition and drove off. My headlights lit the empty road ahead, but it felt different now. Every shadow looked creepy, and every little noise spooked me. I drove the rest of the way feeling really uneasy. I kept seeing those bizarre figures out of the corner of my eyes, darting in and out of the shadows cast by the trees lining the road. I kept telling myself it was just shadows, but I couldn't shake the feeling that something was watching me. I reached the motel without any further incident, but the following days were filled with a dread I couldn't shake off. This wasn't just a bad dream. It really happened. I couldn't help wondering, was it a random encounter, or had the creature wanted to be seen? At the truck stop diners the following days, I scoured local newspapers and exchanged stories with other drivers, hoping to find similar encounters. Some would listen, others would laugh. I couldn't just tell myself it was all in my head or just shadows. The lost town in Alabama, its quiet roads, that skeletal figure, the sudden ascension, they were all real and unforgettable. As I recollect these events, the metallic still lingers in my nostrils. It shows back up every time I think about what happened. Looking back, that encounter changed me. I'm not as skeptical anymore about local myths or the stories of strange creatures lurking in the shadows. The world's a lot bigger and stranger than we think, with all sorts of mysteries and creatures we don't know about. And I'm here to tell you to be careful when you're out there, and don't doubt your instincts if they're trying to tell you something. I reckon it was around 3, maybe 4 years ago. I've always liked a bit of adventure, exploring new places and all. But that night was way different than anything I'd expected. It was in Tennessee in the summer, out in the country near the old Bellwitch Cave. Everyone around here knows the legends about that place. Everyone from absolute believers to hardcore skeptics has their own take on it. I was somewhere in the middle, not sure what to believe. We've all grown up hearing stories about the witch and the spooky things in that cave. I suppose I wanted to see if there was anything to it. I'd planned my visit for a full moon night. True or not, those old tales, they kind of draw you in, you know? To the idea of potentially running into something otherworldly under the cold light of a full moon. I remember reaching the cave entrance and seeing the moonlight creating long shadows over the entrance. It was eerie. I shook off a chill, steadied myself, and went in. It was super quiet inside, other than a faint dripping noise. I was familiar with quiet places, but the silence inside this cave was unique. It was absolute. It was like stepping into a different world. I moved slowly in the cold, humid air. My flashlight showed the rough walls and the ceiling dripping. All the natural sounds of a cave. But how do I put this? There was a sense of waiting. I couldn't shake the feeling that someone was watching me. It made me want to whisper instead of talk, to walk slowly so as not to disturb, well, whatever was in there. I'd been in the cave for about half an hour or so. Don't rightly remember what I was doing. Just poking around, looking at formations and such. The passage got narrower, the roof dripped more, and the air felt heavy and musty, like something was rotting. That's when things started to feel off. I heard a soft rustling, almost like feathers brushing against the ground. It was odd, and I remember thinking it was too gentle a sound for such a place. I got goosebumps trying to hear it again, but it was gone, and everything was too still. The air somehow felt denser, and a sense of dread crept in. Why? I didn't know. But I did know I was not alone, that I was sure of. And meanwhile, I had no idea just how scary it was about to get. Little did I know what awaited me in the heart of that cave. Then the cold hit me. It was so cold, it felt like something was squeezing me. I realized how incredibly cold it had become in the cave, chilling me to the bone. It was the kind of cold that gets inside your head. And the sense of being watched, well, it amped up to something that felt very intrusive and personal. It put me on edge. I was scared. And that's the only word for what I was feeling, scared. I still can't explain what happened next. I felt like something was watching me, and it wasn't friendly. But for a long time, I didn't see anything. Then, out of nowhere, there was this weird, creepy laughter. It sounded almost human and echoed all around. Gave me the chills. I spun around, shining my flashlight all over the place. That's when I saw them. These glowing red eyes staring at me from deep in the cave. Even with the cave all dark and confusing, I could tell those weren't human eyes. They were just too intense, too scary. I was sure it wasn't human. I bolted. Call it instinct or whatever. But everything in me was screaming to get out. It was telling me to run. So I just ran. I hardly remember getting out of that cave. I was really scared. All I wanted to do was get out, and I bet I must have been running through that devil of a cave faster than I ever did. The whole thing was a blur. Next thing I knew, I was outside, panting in the moonlight. I collapsed right there, too shell-shocked to move. When I finally calmed down, I had only one question. What in the world was that? I've heard tales of skinwalkers, mythical creatures that can take the form of any critter, but I never believed what I heard. Yet, there it was, real, terrifying. Had I been face to face with folklore, reality, I don't know. All I knew was that it wasn't a part of my world, not part of any world that I called safe or normal. Yet it existed, undeniably real and chillingly present. Since that night, it's something I struggle to comprehend. Did I cross the fine line between the known world and folklore? What happened to me in the Bellwitch Cave? I guess I might never know. I guess I have to live with not knowing, hoping that going forward I can still tell what's real from what's just a story. I think that might be what has me scared the most. The fact that I'm finding it hard to believe even my own thoughts. A couple years back in June, I found this place near Springer Mountain in Georgia. It was the perfect spot for a peaceful jog along the Appalachian Trail. At first, that day was as close as you'll get to perfection. It was that time of year when spring turns to summer. Birds chirping, a nice sunny day with a bit of a breeze. Everything was green and bright, really welcoming. Being a city boy from Memphis, having moved to Georgia recently, I was new to this trail. It had everything I loved. It was secluded, not crowded like Atlanta's parks, and the challenging terrain got my heart racing. Didn't totally escape the outside world, though. But for those precious moments, it was just me, the trail, and nature. That morning, a Saturday, I had set out on my usual run around 8 after a light breakfast. I run because it clears my head, keeps me sane in this madly rushing world. Plus, it gives me a chance to lose myself, just for a little while, in something that isn't serious. I was so caught up in the peacefulness, I didn't even notice I'd gone deeper into the trail than usual. Maybe I was in an adventurous mood, or just got carried away with the rhythm of my run. I was deep in the heart of the lush mountainside, maybe about 5 miles from where I started. By the time I caught my bearings and decided to turn back, the surroundings seemed different, unfamiliar. I shrugged it off, put it down to venturing into a new section of the trail. It's funny how your mind messes with you when you find yourself alone somewhere new. I shook off the uneasy feeling, but opted to pick up my pace on instinct. As I rounded a particularly dense clump of trees, a stench hit me. It was strong and honestly pretty revolting. It smelled awful, like rotten fruit in a hot, damp place, and it was strong. I stopped dead in my tracks, gagging slightly. And that's when I heard it, a sound, primal and raw, echoing through the silence. The noise was strange, kind of like a growl mixed with a bark. It sounded rough and scary enough to make me shiver. I can tell no bird or squirrel makes that kind of sound. I felt a chill of fear, standing there in the bright morning light, something you wouldn't expect in such a picturesque setting. But there I was, caught in a sudden sense of dread. I thought the woods would go quiet again after the noise stopped, but instead, there was this odd, tense feeling in the air. It felt like that weird calm you get before a storm. I tried to focus on the path leading back home, steering my thoughts away from the bone-chilling noise and hoping that whatever animal it was, it would stay away from me. Then, out of nowhere, this huge figure just stepped out from the shadows. It shocked me as much as if a tree had suddenly fallen. It moved gracefully despite its colossal size, flickering in and out of my sight as it navigated through the maze of trees. It was like something you'd hear about in a campfire story, not real at all. So there, in the relative quiet of the woods, stood a towering, brawny creature. When I say this thing was colossal, I mean it. Easily 8, maybe 9 feet tall, with a chest broader than a barrel. It was rippling with power, its massive, long arms swaying slightly as it examined the area with deep-set eyes. Its face was scarred and rugged, with a strong jaw, big forehead, and nostrils flaring. Its hair was patchy, thin in some places and thicker in others. It was light brown, with some really dark spots. Maybe that was for hiding. Even from a distance, there was this terrible smell coming off it, like rotten meat and something burning, and it just hit my nose hard. A subtle noise came from its throat, like a soft, restrained growl that vibrated beneath the silence of the forest. Its eyes locked onto mine. I'd love to say I was brave or something, but really, I was totally freaked out. My breath hitched, and I struggled to move. Fear pinned me to the ground as those deep-set eyes kept their gaze fixed on me. It seemed like forever, but then it just huffed, kind of disappointed-like, and walked back into the trees. It was like a mountain casually moving. I took off then, pelting down the trail as fast as my legs could take me. All I could hear was my heartbeat pounding in my ears as I ran. I practically stumbled my way through the rest of my run, dashing towards the safety of my car. Back in my car, safe, I just sat there. What I had seen was surreal, something out of a sci-fi movie or nature documentary. Over the next few days, it felt like I was in a daze, questioning my sanity and logic, trying to rationalize what I'd seen as a bear or a homeless guy in a costume. But deep down, I knew what I had witnessed, that those images etched in my memory were beyond the reaches of my imagination. I had encountered a Sasquatch, a creature considered a myth by many, and I felt a flash of vindication, a rush that was almost thrilling. It didn't matter if people wrote my story off as crazy talk. Something rare and amazing had happened, and even though I didn't fully understand it, it felt like a strange kind of gift. It was a misty, clear night in Savannah. A cold chill crept along the cobblestones in the dark alleys. It was the kind of cold that nips at your skin as you walk through the old part of town. It's a beautiful place, though, with old buildings that seem like they've got a lot of stories to tell. Some folks, well, actually, a lot of folks say these buildings are haunted. They say spirits dwell here, forever trapped in their homes, and you can feel the history in these buildings, like they're still holding on to the past. I've always been curious about this stuff, which is why I'm drawn to these old, supposedly haunted buildings in Savannah. Part of me can't wait to see if these ghost stories are true, but another part of me keeps thinking they're just rumors. It was getting dark when I decided to check out one of these buildings. An old mansion that used to be grand, but now it's pretty run down. The wind was making eerie noises through the cracked windows and broken shutters, mixing with the distant sounds of the city. It was eerily calm, peaceful yet filled with an uncanny stillness that made the hair on my neck prickle. I walked past the old, broken fence and onto the front porch. My footsteps echoed in the quiet, giving me chills. The wood creaked under my boots, and the old mansion looked even more spooky under the dim moonlight. When I stepped inside, it was so dark that my flashlight hardly made a difference. I could make out hints of grandeur past. Banisters that once held elegant spirals, wallpaper now hanging, peeling off the wall. You could almost hear echoes of the past, like the place was frozen in time. The cool wind outside had turned to a breathless chill indoors, the ice-cold wooden floors adding to the uncanniness. As I continued to wander through the aged mansion, amidst broken relics of another era and faded fragments of furnishings, I chanced upon a staircase. As I climbed the newly emerged stairway into the pitch black, my heart thudded loudly in my chest. And then I heard it, a noise that was not my own. This weird clicking sound, like someone tapping a pipe, really light but clear. Then, another noise soon followed, a low scratching, a soft echo that seemed like something dragging itself across the floor, crawling quickly from one point of the room to the other. The sounds, unsettling as they were in the silence, seemed to be closing in, drawing nearer with each passing moment. A wave of unease washed over me as curiosity wrestled fear. Part of me thought it was just the old house messing with my head, but another part really wanted to see what was hiding in the dark. Gathering my courage, I stepped forward and rounded the corner. My flashlight's weak beam swept across an old, rundown ballroom. It got colder, like the draft was wrapping around me. The feeling of anticipation suddenly morphed into something else, dread. The once intriguing darkness now felt unwelcome, stifling. My usual skepticism disappeared, leaving me feeling exposed in the growing darkness. In the far edge of the room, I thought I saw the shadows seem to shift, forming a vague silhouette different from the surrounding gloom. That subtle distinction made my heart skip a beat. A bunch of things flashed through my mind. The mansion, the ghost stories, the weird sounds, and then that shape that didn't belong. It was then I finally saw it, the crawler. The shape started to move, gracefully, eerily, almost floating above the tattered remains of what might have once been a polished oak floor. This figure was super thin and way taller than any normal person. crawling around on all fours. It moved quickly, like it was hunting. Its eyes seemed to swallow whatever slight light broke the darkness, leaving behind twin pools of utter blackness. I couldn't see a nose or any clear features, just a huge mouth that looked like it was opening into a bottomless pit. I was shivering, my heart pounding so loud I could hear it over that creepy clicking sound echoing around. The room suddenly felt smaller, the ceiling lower, my flashlight beam dimmer. I felt a rush of adrenaline telling me to run, but I couldn't move or look away from it. Dread turned to primal fear, and fear turned to instinct. Before I knew it, I was backing away, finally able to move. I kept my eyes on that thing, the crawler, as I moved back as fast as I could. Another shiver shot down my spine, and I could swear it was watching me too, following my every move. When I finally got outside, I could breathe again, and the fear started to fade. I was out of that mansion, but I couldn't shake off the feeling of that encounter with the crawler. For the first time, I wasn't just some skeptic or curious tourist. I was right in the middle of the kind of ghost story I always thought was just make-believe. Now, all the stories about haunted places in Savannah, the ghosts the locals talk about, seemed a lot more real. This wasn't just a wake-up call. It completely changed how I saw things. Glancing back at the mansion, it wasn't just an old building anymore. It was a place full of lost stories, forgotten times, and creepy stuff like my run-in with the crawler. A part of me hoped that was the last I'd seen of the eerie entity. But the explorer in me knew the mystery was probably far from over, and so ended my first terrifying encounter with the totally real haunted side of Savannah. So I was up in Maine's Acadia National Park, beautiful place, some of the squad from the force, and I were up there for a training exercise. It was this team-building thing where everyone attempts to survive a weekend without the comforts of modern living. And trust me, it's harder than it sounds, especially for the newbies. The night skies up there were something else too. Brilliant stars, clean air. But enough of the tourism talk. On to my story. Setting up camp was the usual mix of people who knew what they were doing, and those who didn't, pretty standard fare. Despite some of the grumbling and ribbing of each other, we were all starting to have a pretty good time. We pitched camp near Jordan Pond. It's got quite a view, especially at sunset. Almost made me forget that we were up here on training. And there's nothing like swapping over the top stories about bravery and heroics over food. The food might not have been gourmet, but it sure tasted good after a day of survival skills. And that's about when the calm shattered. There's always that one moment that you can pinpoint when things on a normal day take a nosedive on days that go awry. Maybe the laughter died down, or perhaps the birds went silent, but something changed, and we all felt it looking into the darkness. We were law enforcement officers after all, so when something didn't feel right, we noticed. Then, a rustling from the bushes cut our conversation short. A cloud had passed over the moon, and the once vibrant campsite was swathed in a sudden darkness that left us squinting into the inky void. None of us are the type to be put off or easily become nervous, but this feeling, it was deep, like that feeling you get when you know something's watching you. For a moment, there was nothing, just the wind, and then, I swear, there was this slithering, scratching sound from the bushes. None of us moved. Even us, you know, tough law enforcement guys, were frozen like kids scared of some unseen boogeyman under the bed. Someone flicked on a flashlight, the beam shaking all over the place, but we still didn't see anything. Just shadows, bushes, and trees dancing in the chilling wind. "Don't freak out," I remember whispering to Rodriguez, the rookie who couldn't have been a day over 22. "It was probably just a deer or something," I said. But even as I said it, I didn't believe it. There was more to it than that. I knew that for certain. This felt different than your usual wildlife encounter. The rustling and that uncomfortable feeling of being watched. I'm not sure what made me do it. Maybe it was just how uneasy we all felt. But I caught myself squinting into the night, trying to see through the darkness and following the sound. In the dim light, my gaze eventually fell upon an odd shape that stood out from the shadows. It was huge, much taller than your average bear or moose. It was hard to tell exactly how tall it was. Somewhere between 8 to 10 feet, I guess. Either way, it was just huge. But what really got to me was its shape. It just looked wrong somehow. It was a strange mix, parts familiar, parts totally unknown. Like, it stood on two legs, but its head was something out of a dinosaur movie or a lizard, not a mammal. A jolt of adrenaline surged through me, and I yelled back to the others. The jokes and laughter stopped dead. We all felt it, even Rodriguez, the rookie. He was staring, clutching his flashlight like it was his lifeline. Honestly, none of us knew what to do. This wasn't just a bear or a raccoon. This was something other. So we did the only thing we could think of as cops. We cautiously approached it. Being cops, we're used to being on guard and handling tense situations. We're trained for dealing with people, but not whatever this was. As we got closer, I could see it better. The creature seemed to be watching us as well, its piercing yellow eyes coming to focus in the sweeping beam of our flashlights. The weirdest part? There was something almost human in the way it reacted, cunning even, as if it was gauging us, understanding our approach. And then as suddenly as we spotted it, it was gone. It didn't run off or slither away or anything. One second it was there, the next just gone. Vanished into thin air, I would say, if I could trust my eyes that night. All that was left was this eerie silence and a weird feeling in our chests. We were shaken up. Some of us were even scared. We didn't sleep much that night and stayed close to the fire till sunrise, taking turns dozing off just a bit as we sat there. We spoke little of it, and whenever we did, it was quietly, as if speaking about it louder might summon the creature back. Back home, I replayed the incident in my mind. I was trying desperately to wrap my head around what we'd seen, what it meant. I thought about the stories I heard as a kid about strange beings, about people who vanished in dense forests, never to come home. To this day, I don't know what we encountered that night. It's a humbling reminder that there's still so much out there in the world, beyond us, beyond human understanding. I just got around to sorting through all the pictures of my last trip to Plymouth, Massachusetts. If it's Plymouth, you know I had to add to my collection of haunt pictures. As a photographer who loves history, I've always been drawn to old graveyards. There's something about the air there, heavy with history, that just gets me. It was a Friday, early afternoon. Plymouth was so quiet that day, it felt like the perfect day to wander in a cemetery. The headstones looked really old, shining under the sun. I was there with my headphones on, playing classic rock, and my camera in hand. I walked among the tombstones, carefully navigating the paths between them as I peered at each unique marker, letting my fingertips graze the weathered script. I felt like the old stones and moss were telling stories of the people who were buried there. I know it's weird to find comfort in these old graves, but hey, it's history, right? There were beautiful headstones, some broken and worn down by the grueling New England weather, others surprisingly sharp and neat in their preservation. Some of the grave markers dated back to the 1700s. I snapped a few shots of particularly striking tombstones, the deep, angular shadows creating a contrast in the images I was hoping to capture. I passed by an enormous oak, its gnarled branches casting long, eerily human-like shadows over a section of tombstones, its leaves rustling. That's when I felt it. The air changed. I started to see my breath in the cold air. Startled, I glanced around, somehow knowing it wasn't the eccentric New England weather making me cold. I got this weird shiver, and the silence of the graveyard seemed louder than Freddie Mercury, who was singing in my ears. And then, out of nowhere, a strange, damp, earthy scent entered my nose. It freaked me out. But then, at the same time, my camera beeped, and I snapped back to what I was doing. My camera had captured something on its passive lens, and it had automatically focused on something. I looked at the viewfinder, but all it showed was an expectantly blank screen. Confused, I scrolled back to my last snap, a random shot of a dilapidated tombstone being strangled by ivy. I didn't see this when I took the picture, but in the replay, I could see an ethereal, misty wisp wrapped around the stone and ivy, partially transparent, but 100% there. Had my lens been foggy? I checked it, but it was clear. I told myself it was probably just a lens flare or something. No need to get freaked out. Resuming my exploration, I decided to leave this to be examined later. Yet a prickle of unease continued to linger in my mind. It was clear that something was going on that just was not right. As the day wore on, the coldness clung to the air more persistently, reminding me of what I had seen in that photograph. I kept walking. I was more careful with each photo I took, like I was expecting something to happen. Then it happened again, a stronger chill this time. And there was this faint clanking sound, like metal jingling, carried by the wind. Without thinking, I snapped a photo, my heart racing. But this time, when I looked into the viewfinder, there it was. Behind this really old headstone, my camera showed a blurry shape, kind of like something ghost-shaped. It was a tall, kind of flowing shape, no clear lines or anything, just a bunch of blurred shapes that kind of looked like a person. Where its face should be, there were these dim shadows, almost like glowing eyes. It looked like it was wearing old-time clothes and maybe holding chains, just like in those classic ghost stories. A cold shiver ran through me, and something inside told me to get out of there. But for some reason, I couldn't move, just staring at the photo, weirdly fascinated. It was a ghost. I had a picture of a potential ghost, I thought, my blood pounding heavy in my veins. I felt around me an energy shift, a spiking electric thrill. The cold air suddenly softened, and a quiet fell around me. Leaving the graveyard, I was quivering with the prospect of what I'd possibly captured. As soon as I got home, I knew I had to talk to Sarah, a friend who studied photography and who also had a strange interest for paranormal phenomena. I was hoping she could shed light on what I had captured in my photographs or just make me feel more at ease. She told me that she, too, had found similar images on some of her photographs. She firmly believed that she had captured images of ghosts, people from the past who, for some reason, had not yet been able to move on to the afterlife. She didn't know why they were still there, or if they were dangerous, but she firmly believed they were real. He instincts leaned towards them being gentle souls just looking for help. This calmed me a bit, knowing I wasn't alone in this. Ghost stories started to feel a bit more real for me that day. I mean, a lot of history is just things we don't fully understand, right? Maybe it's not so crazy to think that parts of life hang around after they're gone, like shadows or whispers in a graveyard. A few summers back, something really weird happened to me. I hope never to experience anything like it again. This happened in a remote cabin in Chippewa National Forest, deep in the heart of Minnesota. I took that trip to find a quiet place to relax. I just needed to get away from my boring day job. I thought a cabin in the woods would do the trick. The cabin was between two mountains, by a small lake. The air smelled like pine and damp earth, that fresh, wild forest smell. It was perfect for some alone time. I was hoping to finish the book I'd been writing for too long, do some hiking, maybe even try my hand at some fishing in the lake. The first few days were super peaceful, just as I wanted. I spent my days writing and hiking, and evenings were all about relaxing in the cabin and cooking. The quiet was nice, but after a couple of days, I realized the nights were quieter than I thought they'd be. I brushed it off, thinking maybe I wasn't used to the ambient sounds of the forest just yet. As the days passed, I finally shook off my writer's block. I spent whole nights typing away on the computer, my concentration only broken intermittently by the dancing flames in the fireplace or the occasional splash from the lake outside. Being alone in nature was doing me good, or so I thought. After writing late into the evening one night, I went outside for some air. The moon on the lake and the breeze through the trees were calming. Then, something caught my attention. It was subtle at first, the faintest rustle that seemed too deliberate. too rhythmic to be just the wind. A smell hit me next, pungent, almost moldy. The odor was so strong it made my eyes water. Then came the sounds. Strange sounds that rumbled at a frequency that was hard to pinpoint. It was a deep sound, with a strange echo, as if resonating from a large, deep chest. It made my hair stand on end. Suddenly, the peaceful forest didn't seem so welcoming. Right away, I knew that something was lurking, and that was my first inkling of the terror that was to unfold that summer night. The sound came again, closer this time. That same guttural growl, followed by a howl. It wasn't like a wolf or coyote. It was deeper. Again, almost like it came from a huge chest, but it also sounded disturbingly human-like. It made me feel uneasy in a way I couldn't explain. I never thought I was brave, but something got into me. I just grabbed my flashlight and went to check it out. I was hoping it was just something simple, or something explainable. You know, like an animal that had lost its way. I kept going towards the noise, every part of me on edge. It was so quiet and dark, it felt like a dream. Suddenly, from the faint moonlight illuminating the outskirts of the forest, I saw something. This thing was huge, like 7 feet tall, all covered in this thick, dark fur. Its legs were weird, kind of like a dog's, really muscular. But what was most terrifying was the way it stood upright, just like a human. Its snout was long, and as my flashlight beam darted to its face, a pair of yellow eyes glowed ominously back at me. It instantly snarled at me, showing off these long, sharp teeth that caught the moonlight. I stumbled backwards, my feet leading me towards the cabin, never taking my eyes off the beast. I managed to get inside, slamming and barricading the door, hoping that the wooden structure would stand a chance against the looming threat. I switched off the lights, hiding in the darkness, praying for that thing to go away. The rest of the night passed in agonizing tension, marked by its eerie growls that gradually receded further away, into the forest. I was up all night, just waiting for the sun to come up, to get away from that nightmare. I left at first light, vowing never to return to that godforsaken place. For weeks after, I couldn't stop thinking about it, and at night I'd swear I could still hear it howling. The peaceful solitude I loved was now ruined by this creature. I heard later from some locals about a creature they referred to as the Dogman, a beast of terrifying stature and haunting yellow eyes. To think that I had come face to face with this horror made my blood run cold. Now surely as I sit back home in Ohio, far from those cursed woods, I cannot forget the ungodly sight of that creature, the awful stench, and the deep, haunting growls. Trust me, there's stuff out there in the woods, things we can't even begin to understand, and I, for one, would rather not peek into that dark world ever again. A few years back, as a freshman at the University of Kentucky, I was just trying to find my place, you know? At first, it was pretty scary. All the hustle and bustle, thousands of people everywhere. And also, the day in question wasn't just any night. It was Midnight Madness, the biggest event of the year at our school. Loud and exciting, for sure. A bunch of my dorm friends were huge into basketball. Me? I wasn't really into sports, but I loved the buzz in the air. That feeling when you know something big is about to happen. And according to whispers around the campus, this was not an event I'd want to miss. Funny how we see these first-year things as some magic step into adulthood. So there I was, hyped up on Mountain Dew in anticipation, ready to dive headfirst into that sea of school colors with complete enthusiasm. Keep in mind, this was like late October, so it was starting to get pretty cold at night. We had agreed to meet at a popular spot near the campus entrance, some sandwich shop that was usually empty, but that night, it was teeming with life. After some chit-chat and a quick sandwich, we began walking towards the Memorial Coliseum. The night was clear, and the blazing lights of the Coliseum were visible from a distance, partly because it's on a hill, but also because it was lit up like a UFO had just landed in Kentucky. As they kicked off the madness, the atmosphere was electric. Caught up in all the cheering, laughing, and everyone chanting together, it was super easy to just go with the flow. I was in the thick of it, laughing and cheering with the rest of them. It didn't matter that I didn't even really understand basketball. But then, things took a weird turn. We were all goofing around near the statue of former coach Adolph Rupp when I noticed something. Now, the weird part is, I couldn't exactly tell you what I saw. It was more like I felt it, this weird chill that made my skin tingle. All my fun vibes turned into this creeping dread, like that weird fear of something you can't explain. Something was watching us. I just knew it. There was this presence, I guess, just lurking. It was a vague silhouette in the distance, and the odd collection of shadows that didn't quite fit the scene. I couldn't tell whether it was just a figment of my imagination or something more sinister. The world started to spin again. Love Shack rushed into my ears from someone blasting it with astonishing velocity, and my friends carried on cheering as though nothing had happened. But I just couldn't shake off that feeling from those few creepy moments, like we weren't alone, that something else was there with us, unseen, but undeniably present, watching. That was the first half of the strangest night in my life. A night that was supposed to be about basketball, about camaraderie and university spirit, but it would turn out to be something else entirely. Right then, while everyone else was caught up in the event, I just couldn't shake off this weird feeling. It was like being in a dream, except I was totally awake. My gaze was slowly drawn upwards towards the rooftop of one of the buildings. Then I saw it. There was this figure on top of the concrete and glass building, sticking out like a sore thumb. This thing was massive, definitely over 6 feet. It looked kind of human, but all wrong. Its limbs were too long and thin, and it was hunched over. Even from far away, it just gave me the creeps. I was scared, sure, but also kind of amazed. Here I was in the middle of this big event, staring at something like from a sci-fi movie. I watched as its large wings started to spread out to its sides, almost as if it was about to take flight. Its wings weren't feathery but leathery, like a bat's, which looked really weird on its human-like body. It had these two red eyes, glowing like embers in the dark, staring right at me. It felt like they were piercing through everything just to see me. Before I could even wrap my head around what I was seeing, the crowd's roar snapped me back to reality. I blinked, rubbed my eyes, half expecting it to be gone, a figment of my overactive imagination. But when I looked again, it was still there, just staring. Overwhelmed, I just backed away from the crowd in that building, away from those creepy red eyes. I barely noticed my friends asking what was wrong. All I could think of was the thing I had witnessed. I don't even remember how I got back to my dorm that night. I just remember being there. Next morning, everything seemed totally normal. The sun was out. Students were grumbling about hangovers and assignments. Seemed like I was the only one who saw that weird creature. I've replayed that night in my mind countless times since then. Was what I saw real? Was it a trick of light or some well-executed prank for the tradition of midnight madness? I couldn't let it go, and I started looking into it, digging up all these strange stories and hidden facts. Apparently, the creature I saw that night is known to many as the Mothman, an enormous bat-like creature, often tied to terrifying occurrences and bad omens. Why it chose to reveal itself to me that night, though, is a mystery to me until today. Despite the fear and confusion, I actually wouldn't change a thing. That surreal encounter, with something most people only dare to whisper about, has made me curious. It's unlocked a curiosity to know more. Most of all, I've learned that we're just tiny parts of this huge, mysterious universe. There's so much out there that we don't know, can't possibly understand. But isn't that what university is all about? Challenging what we know and finding the unknown? Finding ourselves? And who knows, maybe this year, another freshman will look up at the right moment during Midnight Madness and see something utterly extraordinary amidst the ordinary.